Welcome to Sad Pod Live, and I think the date today is August the 8th, 2017. We've had a little bit of a toddler delay and poo this time. Not sleep, but poo. Anyway, tonight's show, it is Abandoned Sads and Wives Who Travel and What That's Like. It's a little bit different from one of our normal shows. We're actually going to branch out and bring in a couple of people who aren't sad podders, but they do have wives that travel. So, without further ado, on tonight's show, please welcome Mike Ryan Simonovich. Say hello, Mike.
Good evening.
Good evening. Up there in Jacksonville, Florida, who's actually a member of the Stay at Home Dad Jacks group, we have Weston Rochford.
Good evening, everybody.
Did I pronounce your name correctly as well? So correct me if I did.
It's Rochford.
Rochford? Okay. Yes. Did I say it better the second time?
Yes, you did.
Oh, I should have actually asked that in advance. Bad host. And finally, somebody that I don't know, who was actually from the Stay at Home Dads group, who also was in the same situation and who's coming on tonight to talk about it, Mr. John Medina.
Ahoy.
Ahoy, John. Okay. So, let's get into it. I already said we might be sads, but at least we aren't sad bastards. Tonight's show is actually inspired by the fact that, you know, my wife travels horribly for work. I mean, horribly meaning that she's away all the time. In fact, she's traveled almost her entire career. Before baby, I really didn't mind. In fact, I loved it. I either got a cheap holiday to somewhere or I got some nice time by myself. And time to myself meant not having to do the bed or wash the dishes or in general clean until 3 hours before my wife got back. She was never any the wiser, but all that changed with a kiddo. And now it kind of blows, and I sometimes feel like I'm a single parent. My wife leaving just means that there's more work to do, and I'm generally stressed out of my gourd. So tonight, we guys are going to talk about what it's like, the pros, the cons, the tips, the tricks. Let's talk about those times when we're abandoned because work calls, and we're left to take care of the poo and the sick and the other catastrophes all on our own. So, we're all friends. Let's start with you, Mike. Tell us why you're an abandoned dad and what form does it take?
Well, I am an abandoned dad because my wife is a university professor who travels. These days, she only travels 1 or 2 months out of the year, but it's been as many as 4 months out of the year in the past. That's just travel between field work, conferences, working groups, just lots of international or lots of national travel and lots of international travel. But it's been like that since day one. In fact, she went on, I think, a 10-week long trip 3 weeks after our first date. So this is just sort of this is how it's always been.
So you just don't know any different, really?
I really don't.
Now, I mean, did that make you a little bit apprehensive though? Because I mean, having a kiddo and then, you know, having your wife disappear, it's a bit different, right?
I mean, was it easy? No. But was it a surprise? Not very much.
Because I must admit, you know, I really didn't weigh up the consequences of my wife traveling for work. They just call me stupid, but I really didn't think about it much. Weston, what about you, mate? How old's your kiddo as well, by the way, mate? Because you also have a wife that travels, and what does she do?
My son is almost 2 years old, and my wife does software sales for a company out of Utah, but she covers all Florida, the Caribbean, and Puerto Rico. And she has been traveling literally since we've met too. She worked in Chicago for almost 10 years for a retail company that sells hardware and software, and has spent a lot of her time traveling around sales promos and all that good stuff.
So out of the average month, how long has your wife gone?
The average month, I would probably say at least 3 days out of the week, if not more, almost 4 days out of the week. So it's usually a Monday through Thursday or a Tuesday through Friday, and then she's home for the weekends.
Now, the last one, John, you're the newbie to all this crew. At least I know Weston and Mike's been on several shows, you know, but we're all friends. Tell us why you're an abandoned dad, mate.
Well, my wife and I have been together since we were in high school. So for a very long time, She's always been there. And she now works for the government. She's a veterinarian for the USDA. So she's responsible for food safety. She has to travel. She has her home plant, which is here in our town. But then she has about 13 other plants in this part of Texas all the way to, I want to say, New Mexico that she has to travel with. And none of this became an issue until we had kids because she never traveled. And then all of a sudden, she gets pregnant. And as soon as she's pregnant, she's traveling. And now that she's had kids, she's been gone. She took her normal vacation or what the maternity leave. And then she was gone for 6 weeks. Saw her for Christmas Day, gone for another 6 weeks. Saw her again, gone. She's missed about 4 solid months of our girls' life. And our girls are 10 months old now.
And you've got twins, right?
I got twin girls.
Holy cow.
Do you have family nearby?
Hmm?
Have you got family nearby?
No. See, I'm from Massachusetts. Yeah. We're both from a place called Cape Cod. I live in Texas now because that's where the government placed us. We have no family. I have no friends out here I trust. I have one babysitter who babysits one night a week.
I think you lose the shit lottery, man. Or win the shit lottery, I should say. Look, Mike Weston, I don't know about you, but your wife didn't travel, and now she does travel, and it's 6 weeks at a time, and you've got twins.
Mm-hmm.
That blows goats, man. I mean, I feel ashamed to be bitching and moaning.
I mean, it sucks. I'm not going to say it doesn't because it's not only my wife, but she's literally my best friend. So she's gone and I'm lonely on all fronts. But I also don't have to deal with some things that I don't mind, like someone following me around the house. Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that?
So what you're saying is you're okay with it because you're your own boss.
Yeah.
But your kids are what, 10 months, right?
Yep. They're 10 months old, but I'm part Pacific Islander and I'm part Italian. I am from two very big families. So I'm used to a lot of kids, a lot of chaos, a lot of everything. So for me, this isn't half bad. I mean, there are days where I'm worn out and exhausted, and I can't lie, I've called my wife crying saying this sucks. But there are other days where it's the funnest thing in the world.
And no one can see, but I've seen pictures of John, and that man is huge, hugely intimidating. Does that get you anywhere with these 10 months old, or they just say, screw it, big guy, you're under our thumb?
It gets me places because I'm so much larger that they see me first. So they geek out all the time. Like, I'll walk into a room, and this makes my wife so mad. I'll walk into a room, and both of the girls will screech and crawl to me as fast as they can. My wife will walk into a room, and they'll just look at her and smile.
Okay. Well, look, I got to pass it off to Weston. Weston, your lot doesn't sound as bad as that, mate. But how do you feel about it? I mean, is your wife's travel the reason that you're sad?
Yes, it is. We had talked about this before she had the baby, and she'd got pregnant in Chicago. And the thing we had talked about was that we really didn't want to live in Chicago and try to build a family. We wanted to be outside of it. And when she got a position down in Jacksonville, Florida, and, you know, she had been working, getting herself acclimated to this new company, we had kind of talked about and sat down and said, you know, you're going to be traveling a lot. I think we should, you know, I should be home here with the baby while you're gone as much as you are, because it just makes sense. And we don't have a support system either. So my family is from Minnesota and her family's from Pittsburgh, and they are a long ways away from where we're at.
Yeah, because you're not only dealing with the single dad, you're dealing with the isolated dad, then, aren't you?
Yes. And, you know, it took me about, after the baby was born, it took me about 7 months, 8 months before I actually joined the stay-at-home dad group. And I tell you, it's made a world of a difference, you know, actually meeting other guys that are doing the same thing and just being able to relate and talk to other people and hang out too. Like, we do a lot of, you know, story time, music and movement, go to the beach. You know, it's been a savior for, you know, both my wife and I in being able to do this stuff.
Yeah, because David Torellio, who's in the Jax group, who was also on Sad Pod for a time there, he talked to you about my situation, which is somewhat similar. You know, my wife's a VP with a big company, a big nonprofit. I'm from Australia, so obviously none of my family are here. And certainly in the early days, that travel and that isolation, and it created not a very happy camper. I mean, you mentioned a poo incident tonight, John. I remember a really, really bad shit incident. I mean, the worst. It was like, it was catastrophic. It was the Katrina of poos. And my wife was nowhere to see it. And I thought, this just fucking sucks, man. If you're gonna leave me with a baby, at least you should be around to see these momentous occasions, good or bad. But
bro, I mean, these poop things, man. This is not even the worst one that happened. That's not even the worst. I had to give them baths one time, and I've learned now. I change them in the bathtub or in the bathroom. I don't do this anymore. At first, I'd bring them over, put them on the changing table when they were babies, and they were both little. They were both premature. They were born 32 weeks, so they were really small. I could fit them on the table, do everything I needed to do. One time, I'm sitting there and I'm picking them up, and I also never do this again either. I had them both their butts in my hand, and I was just tapping their butts, like singing a song, saying "slapping your butt, slapping your butt." Next thing you know, my hands are warm. Both of them shit in my hand, and it went from my hand down to my chest, down my chest a little bit, because, you know, I was holding them. Never doing that again. Never holding naked. I do not hold naked babies.
I didn't realize they had a button at the back that you pressed it, and it just went shit here.
I don't know what it is about babies. Like, I didn't realize that they can actually produce three times the amount they eat.
Oh yeah, they defy the laws of physics. It's one of the few phenomenon where they actually they take in less than they shit out. It's just one of those scientific anomalies. I want to get to you, Mike. Now, I know that you're sad mainly because you're very interested in, you know, making sure that your wife's career was successful. So I want to skip past that. But okay. Your wife travels. Yeah. Does she travel anywhere particularly exotic?
Just like, you know, Africa and Asia and Europe and South America.
Oh, so just normal places.
Exotic. Yeah, just normal places. Yeah, so she's going to be home in 2 days' time. And she's been in three different countries in Africa and then three different cities in England for the last month and a half.
Does that make you jealous?
It makes me super jealous. I would love to go back to Africa. I would love to go back to England. She went to Ethiopia for the first time this summer, and I think that hanging out in Addis Ababa would be fantastically cool. One of my deep disappointments about living in Florida is that there is no Ethiopian food anywhere here, or at least, you know, within a 3-hour drive.
That's a long way to go for takeout, mate. I mean, really.
Yeah, it really is. But yeah, I would totally love to come. And she's been very good in the past about bringing me along when it was just the two of us, and then bringing the two of us when now that the boy's on the scene. But she tends to be a whole lot less productive, and it's very distracting, and and it's more expensive, and so it doesn't happen as much as I would like. But I reasonably understand that she's not going to these places so that her menfolk can have fun adventures. She's going there because it's what the job demands.
That still sucks. We were just talking about this, Weston and I. Weston was telling me about all the exotic places he got to go, and I was comparing the same thing, you know, the best hotels we got to go. And now we're basically, it was all fun and games until we had a baby, right, Weston?
Absolutely.
Now it really was. Now, but you do travel sometime with a kiddo, mate, so you do get to see some nice hotels.
I do. For example, we came back from Pittsburgh, and my wife was doing business in Sarasota, and we stayed in Lido Beach, just north of Siesta Keys, and I tell you, that was an amazing area. It was really nice, clean beach, calm waters. It was, you know, the Gulf side. It was really nice. It was a great area, too.
Well, Brett Roberts, who's on the podcast, he just complains that it's just parenting in a different location without all the necessary tools to get the job done. So,
true fact.
Now, John, your wife travels for 6 weeks. Do you never not consider going with her? I mean, is it just too hard with the two little ones?
No, I would not go. I don't want to go.
Does she go anywhere exotic?
No, hell no. So let me explain what she does, and then you'll understand.
Okay.
So she works for the USDA in food safety. She makes sure that the food plants, whether it's Pilgrim's, Tyson, or any of the other stupid things I really don't care about, she makes sure that they kill all of the chicken within government standards, the meat's processed within government standards. They basically try to cheat the system. She catches them. It's a big game of cat and mouse. So where are chicken plants? They're in backcountry, trailer park, run areas that smell like cow shit. And I went one time, and I stayed in our hotel room that was a trailer, and I never went again.
Okay, where was that? Can you name the town?
Yeah.
It wasn't – was it Springdale, it was Arkansas?
No, it was in West Texas. Literally the only thing – the only building in this town that was not a trailer was the chicken plant.
Well, you got to treat those chickens well because their life is short.
Yeah, they're short, but they make me the lovely chicken nuggets.
Well, that's it, mate. I mean, you can't live without chicken. I lived in Northwest Arkansas. I went to the University of Arkansas for my master's. And Springdale is the chicken capital, and we used to smell the processing plants and the chicken. And when you drove out at night, you would see all the chicken farms because they were lit 24 hours a day so that the chicken would be constantly eating and constantly growing. But yes, I know what those areas are like, mate. They're not exactly desirable. So you want to stay at home. Mm-hmm. Whereabouts are you located, John?
I'm in East Texas. I'm in a town called Nacogdoches. It's literally, I call it Nack-a-Nowhere. Because it's literally nowhere.
Oh, well, for some reason, I was thinking that you were out in Cali.
No, my business ventures I have are there, just not me.
Oh, because we were talking about, you can mention it. I don't give a shit. I mean, we were talking about your business ventures earlier.
I'm a dispenser, yeah. I'm a dispenser in California with my little brother and my cousins.
Hey. Sweet.
I was going to say, John was saying that he was wanting to be on the pot show, but he didn't, for some reason, was there a reason why you didn't get on that one, mate? Did you just not submit any audio? How'd it go?
The guy, I forgot who it was, asked me the question if I had the correct audio, and he also asked me via email. I answered him via email, and I never answered him via Facebook, and he got to my email after the podcast.
Oh, okay. All right.
It was just a miscommunication, and it was honestly because I was probably stoned.
Okay, never mind, mate. Well, look, let's switch it up a little bit. Weston, how do you think it changes your parenting? You being a bit of a solo, you know. I mean, you've said that you are genuinely solo, because the second part of this question was, are you solo or do you have help? But you are 100% solo. And how does that change how you think you do your parenting?
It makes you the way I feel about it is you have to compromise a lot, and you just got to kind of go with the flow. I mean, it's tough when you're doing it solo and your wife's gone all week. I'm always trying to come up with different things for us to do, activities. But lately here in Florida, it's been all rain. It's tough to even get out this summer and do a lot of stuff just because we've been getting so much rain around here. So you got to improvise again and kind of compromise what you do.
Because people in Florida complaining about being stuck in the house all the time is a rarity. I mean, I've heard about people who are in the northern states who say winter is coming and it is a desperate, desperate time.
Yes.
I don't know what you're talking about. Winter is coming in New England is so much fun.
But have you done it with the two kids being stuck in the house?
I'm stuck in the house right now. In Texas, it gets to like 115 degrees. It's insane. I'm not bringing infants out in this weather for longer than 20, 30 minutes.
That's, yeah, I keep forgetting, of course, you know, it's been hot in Florida as well, but we tend to go from air conditioning to air conditioning. I mean, we don't really experience real Florida weather. When people say to me, what's Florida like? I say, it just depends on what I set the thermostat at, you know.
Well, or you go outside here where you have to change your shirt after 5 minutes, and then so you have the, you know, the 8 or 9 shirt days.
The one thing that I noticed, and I want you guys to jump in, because the way it changed my parenting was I wasn't allowed to be bad dad. I couldn't be a bad dad. I wasn't allowed to get frustrated or lose my temper or, you know, I mean, I know that's insanely difficult and you always have those moments. But the thing is, if you lose it and your daughter starts crying because her mother's away and you're just being mean, you know, you've got to have a level of tolerance, I think, that is above normal sad levels. What do you think about that, Mike? Do you think that that's true, or have you got another opinion?
No, I think when you were flying solo, so I also am in the situation where I've never lived near family for any of the time that I've had a kid. So I've always been more or less flying solo. I've done a fairly good job of having friends who I can, you know, say, hey, the kid just puked all over me. Can you hold him for 10 minutes while I clean up, kind of thing? But yeah, you need to be a lot more patient. You can't demand that the spouse comes home from work when they're, you know, on another continent.
I'm the same way. I've always had the kids by myself at a long time. So it's, I don't have family around. I don't trust people. So I don't really have friends around that I will even trust except for like one person. And it's really watch my kids while they sleep in a bed for an hour and a half so I can go to the gym.
Well, that's what I was going to get at, because you're a big gym junkie. I know you're a big guy in general, and you do powerlifting or something, right? Is that right?
Yeah, I'm actually right now training for, yeah, I'm training for nationals in powerlifting right now. I compete on an actual serious level. I'm sponsored, and I have to meet a lot of requirements. Like, I have to find time to work out. I have to be able to record my lifts. And sometimes I have to pay a lot of money because the gym I go to has a babysitting service that's $8 an hour. But when it's two babies, it's 16. But I have to lift sometimes for 2.5 hours.
Ooh.
Like my first year, I was super, super healthy. I was, you know, in the gym, you know, 2 days on, 1 day off. And it was difficult, man. It was really difficult. We didn't have a creche area. So I was going to ask you how you deal with that. But obviously you deal with it because you've got daycare facilities where your gym is, which is pretty fucking awesome.
I look at lifting. I look at training different than everyone else. Mm-hmm. You look at it like the normal person does. You go to a gym to be healthy. You want to be fit and in shape, and you probably do it to look good.
That never works, but go on.
Yeah, I totally get that. I do it because I have this relentless desire to figure out how strong I can possibly be. And if I can't kind of acknowledge that goal and chase after it, I get really, really, really kind of lost in the rest of my life. So this is something that's out of necessity, and it's literally my only thing I have. I gave up everything else when the girls were born. I gave up a lot of sports. I gave up a lot of time vacationing with friends, and I even had to drop sponsors who wanted me to fly out to locations and compete in special events. So lifting is the last thing I have. So it's tough sometimes, especially being by myself, because I'll have to go 2 days without lifting, and then when I go that, it's kind of like a really, really, really fat person going without food for a couple hours.
So that's how you maintain your sanity. Because I did as well. I mean, the gym was my sane place. It was the place where I got some normality. Obviously, I didn't do it in the same way you did it. But, you know, I got the same endorphins. I got the same the leveling effect that, you know, didn't come from a pill and a bottle.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I seen some of my friends who are now just becoming dads who are going through what I went through. And I noticed, the one thing I notice is because they're not stay at home dads, they're drinking a lot more.
Mm. Yeah. 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 I mean, I'm, it's easy to become binge orientated or something. If you lose your balance, how do you maintain your balance, Weston? Because, you know, I know Mike works part-time. We'll get to that in a second. And obviously, we've got John there that lifts. And me personally, I just fucking podcast. What is it that you do to maintain that series of normality when your wife's away from town?
I've used care.com and have found a few babysitters. Well, I have a specific one now that I use. But I have her come about 3-4 times a week so I can get out, go do, you know, quick workout, run errands, you know, go grocery shop, just get things done where I don't have to worry about taking a child out of a car seat and putting them back in for a 2-second drop off, or, you know, just having to worry about that in general. And that's kind of how I get around it, because, like I said, there's just no sport down here, so you just kind of have to find the next best thing.
So that's how you maintain your salary. You have to hire somebody to play mummy, I suppose, for a little bit, so you can actually go and do some shit.
Yep.
Okay, Mike, when you were deep in the trenches, Yes. You weren't always working. You were at home with your son originally, right?
Yeah. Well, so the first year of his life, I was working, and then we moved to New York, and when we moved to New York State, that was when I became a full-time SAD. But by the David McPhee definition of who is the primary parent, who's the one who's called when the kid's sick, who drops everything when the kid needs you, I've always been the SAD, when I had a full-time job.
Yeah, I find it difficult to the SAD. You know, the Leave It to Beaver SAD isn't really, few people really truly fit that definition. And yeah. I only really fit that definition in the first 14 months. But it was worse than Leave It to Beaver because I think Beaver's mom at least had some friends. I remember in the first 14 months how stressful it was, and we had to go to daycare because I wasn't going to survive. And as I realized later on, after 14 months, it didn't get better for a long, 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 long time. But Mike, your son has allergies and all the rest of it, so it was really intensive. It must have been really intensive early on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he was, until we had the allergies figured out, he was like incapacitatingly sick for every third week, basically. Like fully bedridden, you know, so snotty that he was gagging and puking, that kind of thing. And that was a mess. That wasn't fun to deal with by myself.
So how did you deal with it? What was your outlet? What was your stress reliever there? Because, I mean, as you said, your wife can go away for long periods of time. Was she doing it then?
Yeah. I mean, she's been doing that all along. I have a nasty habit of buying 100-year-old houses that need lots and lots and lots of work. And so all my idle and free time is redoing trim and refinishing floors and moving clawfoot bathtubs around the house and things like that.
Mike, would you like to buy my house?
Absolutely not.
He's not going to buy it, John, but he is
a farmhouse that was built in the 1830s.
Oh, hey, that's awesome.
He's available for weekends, man. He's available for weekends. Just fly him out.
Yeah, you've got to handle daycare and airfare, and I'm your man.
Do you do horticulture as well? Oh, no, the wrong state.
No, I do have an extensive garden, but not that kind of garden.
Not special tomatoes.
Yeah, no, tomatoes, peppers, eggplants, okra, that kind of thing.
I grow special tomatoes.
Awesome. Indoor or outdoor?
Outdoor. It's where I am. Seriously, you just got to get the right plant, the right soil. I pop it in a cloth pot, and I literally add water every few days and let the sun do the rest.
Magic.
Nature is magic. Nature is magic. Look, John, the next question on this was, how do your kids deal with it when mommy's out of town? Now, you said that, you know, your kiddos run yelling and screaming to you, but you know they just smile at mommy, and mommy gets a little bit nose edge. I mean, how do they deal with it when mommy's out of town? Do they start to freak out? I mean, 6 weeks is a long time.
Well, now that they're able to recognize faces and they're able to, they know who mom is. They're able to connect the face to the smell and the voice. So every time, like, she'd be gone, if we would be on FaceTime and they see her, they'd be looking around, and then they don't see her, they start screaming and crying, and they start freaking out, and it adds stress to me, because now that they can say mama, they'll be in the middle of screaming and crying, and they'll just be saying ma, 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 over and over and over again, and the only thing I can do to fix it if it's around bedtime is put them to bed.
Yeah, I mean, how does that work? Does that really screw with sleep patterns?
No, I've always been super lucky. I do a little bit of unconventional parenting because when I was going to school for my master's, I got an associate's degree in early childhood education. So my kids, they got that pacifier ripped out of their mouth the second mommy left. 2 months old, from 2 months on, no pacifier. I taught them how to self-soothe. So when they go to bed now, it's at the absolute most 5 minutes of crying, about 15 to 20 minutes of twin talking. They do that every single night and every single morning. And then they go to bed.
Do you think being the twins helps them though? I mean, because, you know, they got a built-in buddy in the crib sort of thing, right?
I would probably be going batshit crazy if they weren't so independent in a sense. Not that I can leave them alone, but I can put them in their pack and play with their toys, and they can play while I can go to the bathroom.
Okay, but on the whole, they're starting just to get used to the routine now, and things are starting. Because my daughter, oh my God, it's fucking horrible, man. I mean, it is, and I don't know if it's because she's older now, but you know, we went through a stage where she'd be, as long as mummy could sneak out, everything was cool. She wouldn't really notice mummy was gone until mummy showed up. Everything was fine. But nowadays, now that she's closer to three. If mummy says she's going to work, that, you know, that's bad. And that's real, real bad. And it means bad, bad shit for daddy. I mean, some fucking seriously bad juju.
Mommy doesn't sneak out for about 15 minutes. If mommy doesn't sneak out of the house every day, like when she is here, they scream for 15 minutes, like blood-curdling screams.
The very first time I ever went away, early on, and you know, because I was always with my daughter, and early on, it was really much me. Sorry?
You went away? You've been away from your child?
We went away on a cruise, and we had my in-laws. There was a price to pay.
What?
I came back, and my daughter wouldn't have anything to do with me. It was like for a day, and it was generally just a big fuck you, you know? But yeah, I mean, that was a long time ago. That was back before I got sick. I've had two trips away, one to Rhode Island and one to Colorado. And both times my daughter sent me off with the gift of the fucking Lurgy.
So, went to Rhode Island? I'm sorry.
I got the flu in Rhode Island. I had the flu three times that year.
In the last 7.5 years, I've spent two nights away from my son.
Wow.
I've had two nights off the job.
Is that just because you've got a shitty boss? I mean, I think that you need to speak to workplace relations or something. At least go to fucking mediation.
Yeah, I'll take that up with HR.
Okay, Weston, with your son, does he really notice it when mommy's gone?
I don't know. I'd have to say I don't think he recognizes it much. She can walk out the door like she did this morning and head to Tampa. She'll be gone till Thursday. He's just his normal self doing his things. Now, he does recognize when she comes back. Like last week, I picked her up from the airport. She was coming back from Miami, and she was picking up her luggage, and he saw her, and he gets like all excited and like goes running to her. But when she's leaving, heading out, I just don't think he really realizes it quite yet. He's, you know, for a boy, a lot of you guys have girls, but for a boy, he just wants to play. He runs around. He's just doing his own thing. He's in his own little world. He doesn't care sometimes who's around. As long as I'm there, or, you know, mommy's there, or someone that he knows, he's in his own little world.
Do you want to remind my dumbass how old your son is again?
He's almost two.
Oh, that's right. That still seems... Now, my daughter would be flipping her shit. I mean... And it made sleep really, really difficult because whereas initially we used to have no problems. I mean, up until about 14 months, maybe a year and a half, my daughter would just go to sleep, you know, no problems. And then I think she just started to become aware that mommy was leaving and this just wasn't fun. I mean, I don't know if it's a sign of how poorly I was performing as a parent and that this was the equivalent of actually filling out some sort of a survey. But, you know, she just wasn't a happy camper. But it's getting easier. Now, Mike, did you notice that as well? Or were you in the same situation as Weston because you got a boy? And your boy's a little bit older now. Has it changed again or is he just knows the routine?
He just knows the routine. So he's 7.5 now. He's pretty bummed when she's, you know, plus 5 time zones away or minus 8 time zones away or something like that, because that means it's impossible to try to get a Skype video or anything like that. But no, he never freaked out when she was gone. I mean, she left when he was 5 weeks old, I think, for the very first time. And so she's just like this is just been what it's always been.
Does he get bummed out that she goes to exotic places and leaves his sorry ass in Gainesville?
Yeah, he's a bit jealous, but you know, he's got a shovel and can go and dig holes in the yard, and that makes him pretty happy.
Is he a serial killer?
No, he's looking for pirate treasure and or digging himself an underground fortress.
Or digging his way to China. That was the other one. I thought he was just going to make his own vacation. Look, if cats in the neighborhood start going missing, mate, check where those holes are, okay?
Well, he is allergic to cats. Maybe he's trying to eliminate them from the neighborhood.
Hey, I'm not keen on cats.
That'd be a smart survival technique.
That's right.
Okay. Well, look, John, you've been doing this for obviously since your kiddies were born. How long are you going to be doing it for, do you think? I mean, is this just forever? Is your wife always going to be traveling?
Well, the stay-at-home dad thing, I think I'm the only one here that it wasn't by choice. Mine was by kind of an emergency necessity.
Because of it being preemies?
No.
Because it wasn't by choice for me, mate. I didn't get that fucking memo. I got shanghaied.
for me, it was kind of, make an extremely long story short, I 2 days before we found out my daughters were born, I tried to commit suicide. So right after that happened, I went into therapy, found out I had a really, really bad case of PTSD, which everything's squared away now. But I am still under a point of I'm not legally able to work. So this is kind of like a necessity type thing because I can't really have a normal 9-to-5 job. So what am I going to do? Take care of kids. That's all I can do now.
And obviously really, really well.
I love it.
I should have said, I actually forgot to mention that because John was interested in doing a show that we had about cannabis and cannabis use and SADS. And one of the things, we weren't just focusing on the recreational side of things. In fact, that was kind of a minor consideration. We were looking at the beneficial health effects. And one of the things we noticed was the number of guys that were using it because they had PTSD. I don't want to derail the podcast, but if you can just let us know, John, what was the source of the PTSD? Were you in the services?
No. I experienced, basically, I did not realize that a child was not to be used as a adult sex toy until I was 11. I didn't know that was an abnormal thing. So that was my entire childhood. And it messed me up in a very bad way because I also come from a very, very strong family that says you put your problems aside and you move forward and represent the family. So I didn't realize that my whole life, that's what I did. And by doing that, I put myself in a very bad spot because I can manage for so many years. And then I had a mental breakdown and that's where PTSD kind of came into play.
Holy fucking cow, man.
I can't. At one point, everyone, like, it sucks. Like, it sucks that happened in my life. But I don't want to change it because I have two beautiful daughters that are everything.
We never end on a bad note on this show, man. We don't stay down there. Because the goal...
We shouldn't.
No, fuck that shit. If we did, I mean, look, Daniel Tiger can cause some serious fucking problems, mate, but it never makes me that low. Because obviously now you have two kids and you're dealing with that shit like a champ. I mean, you told us... what was it? You had to clean poo out of your beard. Is that right?
Yeah. That's like the fourth time it's happened. But yeah, I've had to clean poo out of my beard, on my chest, all over baby's clothes. I had to change the bedding. It happens, but it is. Even though that happens, like I get to laugh about it. Like it's funny. Yeah, it sucks, and I want to throw up while it's happening. But after that, when I tell you guys, it's like I get to laugh about it with a group of people that get it. So it helps.
Have you ever had poo in the beard, Weston?
I have not. And actually, I've been very fortunate that I haven't been pooed on. My wife has been the only one that's been pooed on so far with our son. And it's happened to her like 4 or 5 times. She just, wasn't paying attention to what she was doing. And, he just decided to unload on her.
You make it sound like he's a weapon. I mean, should he be legally registered as a concealed firearm?
No, little babies are biological weapons.
Look, I had both of the worst incidents that ever happened in my life. My wife was away. One of them obviously was the massive shit that, like you said, was, pasted up the back, like some sort of perverse armadillo shell. And the other one was my daughter, she was having a little bit of a cold and they get apparently a little bit lactose intolerant when they get this way. And I'd fed her yogurt and I'd fed her milk and so on. And she vomited like it was, straight out of The Exorcist. And no one was here. And I ended up having to go to knock on our neighbor's door carrying a baby who was completely covered in sick and, carting sick around the house and say, please, you just have to watch her for a couple of minutes while I run a bath and I can take care of this and you know, could get to grips with the situation. But the worst incidents of my life always happened when my wife was not there. And the first time she had any projectile vomiting, she was trying to explain to me how bad it was. And I'm thinking, you've got no fucking idea. You've got no clue. You're so oblivious to what goes on when you're not here. What about you, Weston? Does your wife
was truly receptive to that argument?
Oh no, no. It's in your words, Mike. No, management doesn't give a shit.
Oh boy, do they not care?
Yeah.
Well, Mike, does your wife know the struggle is real, or is she just a typical academic who can't see beyond the end of the book?
I mean, I think
if you can plead the fifth, mate. You know, here on Sad Pod, we try to protect the dad.
You try to protect the innocent and the guilty. No, I think when she's not totally distracted by a grant deadline or a recently rejected paper or, you know, that sort of thing, I think she's very much aware that it's tough. And I think she fully knows that just as I couldn't take her job, she's totally unequipped to take my job. But I also get the whole like, well, why didn't you totally clean the whole house and do all the things on the list that I wanted you to do while also keeping our child alive?
Fuck, you should have been on the cleaning show.
I know. I listened to it and I thought, man, I really have all sorts of things to say.
Yeah, like your wife gives you a list?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
did I tell you that we
man.
Have a 100-year-old house?
Yeah, that, like, oh, man.
If, I mean, do you- she goes out and she goes out and works and I do everything else.
But there's a world of difference between doing everything else and actually having a deadline, like you're somebody's, you know, personal freaking cortisone.
Oh, no. No, there are no deadlines associated with it. I just do them as I see fit.
Does she ever come in and, like, rub a finger along the top of the mantle with, a you know, like a white glove? And
No.
Docks your pay?
I would laugh at her if she tried to do that.
What about you, John? Does management ever kick up a fuss and think that and think you're playing it up, these poo stories?
Yeah. Not only that, it's... I can come home, I can clean the house, and the house will be clean, the floors will be clean. I will literally, because our floors are all hardwood, old cherry floors, so I will even go through and lock the dogs up in their crates when the babies are sleeping, and I'll do the whole Bona treatment on the floors to make the floor look nice for when she comes home. First thing, she can come in and says, oh, wow, the floors look dirty. And I just look at her, I'm like, get the fuck out of here. I'm done with you.
How big's your wife relative to you, mate? I'm just I have these visions of a really tiny woman who really freaking just, you know, has you around a finger. Is that accurate, or is that just my fantasy world?
About accurate.
Okay, Weston. Go on, John.
She's not around. Here's the thing: when she's home, I don't clean, I don't do laundry, because I tell her. Every time I cook, you complain. Every time I do laundry, it's not folded perfect. Every time I clean, it's not good enough for you. So you fucking do it, or I'm just not going to do it until you get so fed up you have to do it.
Oh, that sounds like a strike. That sounds like a unionism there, mate.
it's only a strike because everyone in her family knows that she's OCD about cleaning. And when I've explained how she does that, they're all like, oh, yep, I can see it. So I get the backing of the mother-in-law on this one thing.
Oh, on this one thing? Not on everything?
This is it. No.
It's a pretty big card to play. Weston,
yeah,
in your
house. I get the backing other than that.
Weston, in your household, can you empathize with these two men who are apparently not keeping up appearances?
Yes, I can, because our house, like, I don't get to do as much cleaning as I would like to, and wife... There's been multiple times where the wife is like, you need to hire someone to come clean this if you're not going to clean it. You know, part of me is like, I want to spend the time to try to clean it, but I'm always busy trying to do other things. You know, keeping up with laundry, feeding our child, cooking.
Did you say beating your child? Don't. Oh, sorry, feeding.
Yeah, beating.
That's another show.
Yeah, that is another show, isn't it?
Go on. You're right. There's so much to do that we did a show called Cleaning the Unbeatable Boss. Is it an unbeatable boss in your house?
Yes and no. It all depends, really. I mean, I keep up with the laundry. I keep up with a majority of the good stuff. But the cleaning part, yeah, I mean, definitely there's that where I don't keep up with that as much as I'd like to. I mean, I keep the house somewhat organized and clean. Like, he'll pull out of his toys and, like, throw them all around and everything. And at the end of the night, I mean, it's just every night, it's just a quick pickup and kind of place everything back to
the way it was. Toys every night? You maniac.
He just, you know, I'm trying to teach him how to, like, pick up his building blocks and everything. And he'll pick up one or two and put them in his bag. And then he kind of walks off and does his own thing.
Daniel Tiger, mate. Clean up, pick up, put away. It works a treat. That fucking tiger, even though he has no pants, he can teach the world to sing. I tell you, the clean up, pick up, put away, it works a treat. Cleaning for me, I mean, we talked about it on another show. In the end, I've just given up. I was a clean freak, but there is no way to win the battle. And my wife said the same thing. You know, I want to hire somebody, and I'm like, no. I promise I'll do it. I don't want to spend the money because it, you know, it takes away from the fact of, well, this is supposed to be my job. Now, Mike, would you have would you have it any other way? Would you swap? I mean, your wife travels all the time. Would you go to the exotic locations? Would you prefer that as opposed? I mean, look, it's a safe space. It's a safe space, Weston. You can say what you want. Mike.
No, I don't think I would. I mean, so when I met my wife, I was an IT consultant who routinely logged 80 hours a week, plus another 30 or so of driving time. And like, man, this job is hard, but I'm so glad not to be always traveling. It was miserable. I hated that.
Yeah, I agree, man. Right before we had kids, I worked for a computer software company that did weight-based inventory control, and we had about 80,000 users, and we were a 6-person company, and I was the only one that did support. Not only that, I was also the only one who did the break fix programming. So I would log in 100 hours working from home.
Ugh.
I mean, you do a lot of hours now. I mean, in all fairness, we didn't mention it, but as an at-home dad parent and an at-home dad, and as a parent who's on their own the majority of the time, the workday is 14 hours for a lot of the time. I mean, it's the long days. I mean, in all fairness.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, especially with, like, for my wife, her day starts at 9, and there's days where it goes till 1, 2 o'clock in the morning because she's taking customers out for dinner, taking them out for drinks afterwards. You know, she's got to entertain people. I mean, it's part about, you know, bringing in the business and getting those commissions and paychecks at the end of the week. So,
but would you ever want to swap with a Weston? Do you feel that you could?
I couldn't swap with her. I can't do what she does. I won't lie. My wife's got a talent for communicating with people. I mean, she graduated from Robert Morris with a degree in communications, and she's a talker. She can read people. She understands what their likes are. She picks up on things a hell of a lot better than I do. And there's no way I could do it. And to be out late at night and stuff, I would be telling customers once 9 o'clock rolled around, see you guys, I'm going to bed. I wouldn't be able to hang and people and do that.
But you have long days now as an at-home dad. And I mean, do you feel sorry for your wife? Do you think that she's missing out?
Yes, she is. I know she is. She's emotional. Every time that she has to go out of town, she says it doesn't get any easier every time that she has to leave to, you know, do business and stuff. So it is hard for her. And I do feel for her because I know she wants to be around. She, you know, loves, like, when we have our family time and hanging out and doing things together. And she just wishes she could do a lot more of that.
I'll be honest. I know my wife would be a stay-at-home mummy tomorrow. I mean, she has a very good job. She's a vice president with a network of executive women, and she has a stressful job, but she very rewarding job. But she would do the mummy thing in a heartbeat because she misses those events. She always used to complain that she would miss the milestones and that she would come back after several weeks and think that my daughter was just that little bit older or a little bit different, and it would really affect her. Today she had the opportunity to take Vegemite sandwiches and fairy bread and Tim Tams to the daycare center for Australia Day, and she's in her element. You know, so I feel very, very, very sorry for my wife in having to to leave and go away. Mike, do you feel sorry for your missus? Do you think she, I mean, maybe it's lesser now because your son's older, but does she really miss it in the beginning, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, she definitely missed it, but she loves her job and she's doing what she's always wanted to do. And even when it's incredibly frustrating, she still is in her element. And I think she would love to have it all, but given the reality of life and economics and all that, I think that she's happy where she is.
Because, I mean, the thing about
and we're happy supporting her.
Well, the thing about an academic career is it's very, very driven, because a lot of the time, particularly science degrees, aren't money. They're more prestige in terms of academic prowess.
And
so, I mean, you have to be incredibly driven. I mean, obviously, I had science.
She's half soft money, so she's got to do half of her own fundraising.
Sure.
And for the entire time that I've known her, you know, I mean, we go on dates and she's got a notebook in her purse and she will whip out her notebook and start scribbling equations because she's had an epiphany on the thing that she's been thinking about for the last month. Yeah. And that just, you know, like she's always at work. She's always on no matter where she is.
Personally, I mean, I had a science degree and I had a science background, and you know, both bachelor's and master's. And I thought I was going to go down that path. That was me. That was the type of person I was, even though, you know, there's another side of me that's really, really fucking lazy. And that's probably why I hate staying home with a child, because you can't be lazy, right, John? You can't be lazy when you're at home, especially when you're at home with two.
Nope. You can't be lazy. You have to take care of them all the time. I know, like, honestly, as a family, we hate this. We're actually trying to get out of this. Not only do we hate the travel, like she's trying to do a lateral transfer, not a lateral transfer. She's trying to transfer up to a pay raise, but to a job that's a normal everyday job. But I mean, it's hard to raise a kid in Texas. I don't understand how people can do it. It's like everything is working against you. So
do you want to elaborate on that? I mean, don't have to be disparaging for Texas, mate, but just curious.
Everything's too religious. It's too religious based. The doctors are religious based. They look at you funny because you're getting vaccines for your kids. Like it's insane. I'm looking at these people and I'm like, you are the reason why polio is a problem again. If you have to get a religious exemption for something medical, we have an issue. And it's like, I'm getting people judge that my daughters are walking around with dirty knees because I let them crawl on a hardwood floor.
You're not going to get anybody come against you in this show, mate. Unfortunately, you're in safe company right here. So where is the ideal location? And obviously, well, Mike's in it for a long haul. His wife's academic, so he really has to age out. It sounds like Weston, you're in it for the long haul, at least until your son probably goes to much older school. But John, you're genuinely trying to break the cycle now. Where do you think that's going to take you to?
We're trying to go to California is obviously our number one. We are trying to go California, Colorado, or Washington. We're basically, and if we have to, back home to Massachusetts. We want the criteria for where we are going are, A, most importantly, she can get a job with the same agency, so she's just transferring. And instead of traveling all the time, I'll still be a stay-at-home dad, but she'll have a normal 9-to-5. The second thing is, medical marijuana needs to be in place for me so I can not have to sneak around to medicate myself, because I cannot be on Xanax or anything like that while taking care of my children. I will not be a present person, and it's not okay.
Okay. So California looks like the place for you, but you want mommy to be 9-to-5. She wants to be 9-to-5. Cause do you feel sorry for her? Does it really hurt her when she's away and come back? I mean, it must do. 6 weeks is a long time.
Yeah. I feel horrible. I mean, she missed the first crawling. She missed the first time our daughter stood up. She missed the first times they started vocally responding and mimicking what I do. She missed almost all of the twin talking. It's to the point now where I'm constantly making videos of things and just sending off videos because she's never home.
I'm going to quickly do a run round because you mentioned something that I didn't have on my questions, but I am interested in. Weston, what do you do? And Mike mentioned it because obviously his son gets a bit disappointed when he's not away from Skype, when he's away from Skype. Weston, what do you do to connect with your wife? You're saying that sometimes she's working till 2 a.m. Do you make sure that you regularly connect on things like social media, Skype, FaceTime, things like that?
Yeah, we FaceTime. Like even for tonight, after I gave him a bath, we FaceTime with mommy for about 10-15 minutes before I put him down, put him to bed. So he does get a little bit of social time with her each night. We try to make a little bit of time to, so he can see her and say hi to her and stuff, and just kind of, spend a little time with her.
That's the thing. I mean, you think about what we can do today. Mike, your son was at a time when Skype wasn't the norm. You would have had, it would have been a little bit different situation, back when your son was first born, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think we only had we've only had reliable network connections to my wife when she's abroad for the last 2 years or so. It's only since we've switched over to a cell phone provider that allows us to actually have international calling. I mean, back when I first met her, she would go to Africa, and there was only one place that was about a 20-minute walk from where she was staying, where she could go up on the hill and get enough cell coverage that I could call her at 4 o'clock in the morning, California time, for $1.50 a minute to talk to her. And now we can Skype anywhere in the world for free.
I had visions of her. Seriously, it was like a scene from The Gods Must Be Crazy. And she's walking with her Coke bottle up to the top. Anyway, never mind.
Yeah, totally. her life is The Gods Must Be Crazy.
Okay, well, look, I've got to end the show. We've just clocked the hour mark. Full disclosure, Mike, is your wife at home or not right now?
No.
Whereabouts?
England. Two more days. Assuming that she makes her connections.
Assuming that she makes a connection. So she'll be back in 2 more days?
Yep.
All right. Weston.
She is not home. She is in Tampa right now. She'll be there till Thursday.
So after how long's the stretch been?
Since last night.
Since last night. So a relatively quick trip. Okay.
Yeah, this one. But she'll be gone. But Friday, she's not even really going to be around on Friday because she's doing a boating event. And she's going to be gone all day.
Poor her. I mean, that sucks, man.
Go do some deep sea fishing. That probably makes me jealous about anything, is some of the events that she gets to do. I really like to do. She was in Miami a couple of weeks ago for the Barcelona Real Madrid soccer match. She took about 25 customers, and I would have loved to have gone to that.
Didn't you just say that you felt fucking sorry for her a few minutes ago?
Yeah. I did. But, She gets these opportunities to do a lot of great things, and you get a little jealous of doing stuff like that. Like going out deep. I'm from Minnesota. I love fishing. She doesn't really fish all that much. She never grew up fishing. I was fishing at 2 years old.
So what
you love to be out there right now.
So you're not really jealous so much as just really, really sad that she's wasting her opportunity.
Yeah, you could put it like that. Yeah.
Okay, John, is your missus is no? How long?
She is on her way back. 3 weeks.
3 weeks you've got till she comes back?
No. She's on her way back now. She'll probably be home in about 20-30 minutes. But before that, it was 3 weeks.
And how excited are you?
I'm kind of happy because the kids are asleep.
Good man. All right. Well, look, full disclosure, I'm actually not even at home. I'm in Mobile. I'm back podcasting from Mobile, and that's why I can actually come on and be on time and do these things. My wife is actually solo now. So, yeah, I feel sorry for her, but she's doing a sterling job because, I don't know, I sometimes think that I can do things better, but not always. And she's doing a sterling job in Australia Week down there in Palm Coast, Florida, giving kids Vegemite sandwiches just like I would like to do, but spreading the Vegemite on way, way too fucking thick. Okay, look, I'd like to thank my guests for joining me tonight and pouring their hearts out about what it's like to be a lonely old single dad, because there was a fella in our stay-at-home dads, Jack's group, called... What was his name again, Weston?
Jeff.
Jeff. Jeff, I can't remember Jeff's last name now. And Jeff used to call it his single dad life. So I'm going to say goodbye to the guys who were part of the Single Dad and Single Dad Life show. Mr. Mike Ryan Simonovich. Say goodbye, Mike.
Good night, everybody.
Mr. John Medina out there in West Texas, right, John?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and East Texas, but close enough. It's still shitty Texas.
I'm sorry. My dad used to listen to that crappy song. Was it down in the West Texas town of El Paso? Every time I hear anything which has got a direction associated with Texas, that comes to mind. And I apologize for that.
Oh, don't worry about it.
Mr. Weston, and let me see if I can get this right. It's Rochford, right? Did I get that wrong again?
Rushford.
Almost had it. Rush. So I just have to think of Canadian rock bands.
That's right.
Okay, and Mr. Weston Rushford, who is in Jacksonville in the stay-at-home dad Jack's group. If you want to connect to any of these men and give your condolences, because I honestly think that John needs it, 6 weeks is too fucking long for anybody, frankly. Anyway, thank you guys. Thanks for joining me. If you'd like to give us a nice iTunes review, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 stars, 6 stars. I don't know if they do 6 stars, but that'd be sweet too. Tell us how we're doing. Follow us on Facebook at Sad Pod or, you know, Twitter at Sad Pod. And yeah, and as we end always, everybody have a super daddy fun day.
Music?
No, it just played.
Okay. I'm sitting there, I'm like, I don't hear shit.